And welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin. And this week is going to be really, really interesting. We're obviously going to catch you up on the news. We've got a whole bunch of different things coming up. Our tip of the week is going to be two-factor authentication. And you are going to hear an exclusive interview I had with Jack Miller. He is the founder of the Quill Corporation. And thanks to him, for years, you haven't had to pay sales tax on the internet when you are ordering things. So you can thank Mr. Miller for that. And I'm going to sit down at his office with him and we're going to go through this. It's a fascinating interview, so stick around for the whole hour. And as always, we're going to start with the news. And in celebrity news, and yes, we're going to do celebrity news. I don't know if you guys remember, about 5 years ago or so, there was an incident called Celebgate, where about 240 or so starlets that were using Apple iCloud had their accounts hacked and their personal photos dumped online. We're talking about celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence, Kirsten Dunst, and others. Well, we've had some updates to that, and it's been actually rather interesting to watch, primarily because we have now officially convicted the fourth malicious hacker that broke in. Now, George Garofano, who is 26 years old, he was 21 at the time when he did this, just got convicted in a court of law and sentenced to 8 months in prison for exposing all of these pictures. Now, he is, like I said, he is the fourth, and I don't know if law enforcement is looking for more, but it's actually rather gratifying to see cyber criminals get hit in this way, especially when they're doing something illegal. And so make sure that if you guys are using things like iCloud or other free providers, that you're enabling good security for yourself, like multi-factor authentication, et cetera. And I'll probably be talking about that later on today. But anyway, that is your celebrity news of the day. And fortunately, it is good, good news. And in censorship news, we're going to talk about China. And China, interestingly enough, as we know, is basically an authoritarian regime, and they have been censoring data quite some time. So standard Google.com does not work in China. You have to go to Google.cn, and then it's very limited, and it restricts access to data that the Chinese government does not want its population to have. For example, Tibet. And the Free Tibet movement, you can't find that anywhere on Google.cn, although if you go to Google.com and type that in, you'll get unrestricted access. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because basically China is laying down the law on both Google and Apple to make sure that they are censoring their products. And for Google, it was recently come to light, and it's a very small project. Only a handful of the thousands and thousands of employees knew this was happening, but they were actually developing a new web browser, a new search engine just for China, based on China's standards and needs regarding their wanting to censor and make some data not available on the internet, and then put that out there for them. And Google actually had to have a town hall meeting when it came to light. It was uncovered by Google employees that didn't know about this because it was very distressing to the general Google population. Most of them believe in freedom of information. China is the antithesis of that. And so Google actually had to address this with their entire work base worldwide to kind of explain this. Now, if we're flipping over to Apple, Apple has been complying with Chinese regulations to remove apps and other things from the iPhone as well as the App Store to basically lock it down more for Chinese users so that they can't get access to specific things that would allow them to get news or, let's say, more private communication and stuff like that. And so if we are looking at this, basically, China is saying, we need you to jump on censorship as quickly as possible. And Apple is saying, yes, sir. And Google is saying, how high, sir? I mean, this is the state that we're living in. And I understand from a business standpoint why both Google and Apple want to be in China. You've got over 1 billion potential customers. It is one of the largest markets, hands down, for their products. I mean, I have personally been in the Apple store in Beijing, China. It is like 4 or 5 levels. It is utterly, utterly massive, right smack in the middle of Beijing in the Wangfujing district. It's huge. And so I know that they want these consumers, and they have been going after this very ferociously. But as a result of it, they have been making concessions on things that they state in America that they don't make concessions on. Like, we value your privacy, we believe in freedom of information. Well, they believe in, you know, here in the United States, they just don't believe it in China. So take that for what it's worth right now. But a lot of this has just recently come to light. And obviously, it's a very serious issue in terms of how we are dealing with Apple, if we want to deal with Apple or Google, and all of that. So just take that into consideration when you are consuming their products. And in data breach news, one of the things that you might have heard me talk about is for the first 6 months of 2017, we had 2,200 reported breaches by major organizations and institutions totaling over 6 billion records. And that was for the first 6 months of 2017 alone. We also know that number is low because a lot of huge organizations simply do not report data breaches because they don't want to get on the radar of news and all of that. Well, the numbers for 2018 are in for the first 6 months, and it's actually rather interesting. We have now had reportedly over 2,400 major breaches by major institutions and organizations and all of that that have been reported. Again, we know that number is low, but the record count is under 3 billion. And that is actually probably pretty good news, all things considered. Even though the count is going up, this year has not seen the spectacular Equifax level insanity that we have been seeing, or that we saw in 2017. So while hacking continues to be more prolific, fortunately, we have not had as many major institutions hit this year as we have last year. And I'm hoping the back half of 2018 is that way, as is 2019. So we'll see what happens there. But hopefully that is continuing to be excellent, excellent news. And in election news, 12 of the top Silicon Valley providers, or Silicon Valley companies, and we are talking about like Google and Facebook and Apple and Twitter, you know, all those, have actually come together at Twitter's headquarters to throw kind of like a first ever meeting regarding the election and disinformation, because as we know, we have a lot of problems with state-sponsored actors trying to sow disinformation, use these free platforms for essentially how they were built, which is to disseminate information and advertising as well. And so these companies are going to get together, and the agenda is actually pretty straightforward. They're going to discuss just the election in general and what they're seeing. They're going to discuss what they're doing, and then they're also going to essentially vote on should we have these meetings in the future. The goal, I hope, would be to share intelligence of what they're seeing between each other to make sure that we are cross-inoculating against things like, let's say, interference by state-sponsored actors through malicious advertising or fake news or whatever you want to call it. I mean, and legitimate fake news, not actual fake news. Let's just put it that way. And so we're going to see what comes out of this. But I think a lot of us are very much looking forward to this and seeing what the results of this are going to be. Now, this came about in part because a lot of these companies, about 8 out of these 12, actually sat down earlier this year with the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI to discuss elections and how to combat this and what they should be doing. But by all reports, these companies left that meeting with the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI rather disappointed because they got a lack of information from the Department of Homeland Security and FBI, and figured, okay, well, if we're not going to get this from the U.S. government, who's actually running the election, we're going to have to do this ourselves. We're going to have to figure out how to do this, because obviously it's not just the fact that we've got fake news or, malicious ads that are, or divisive ads that are intentionally designed to split a population, among political lines. it reflects badly on them. And they've seen that, you know, the hammering that Facebook has taken as an open platform this year, even with Mark Zuckerberg going in front of Congress and everything to discuss this, they want to make sure that they're not the next ones, you know, in congressional gun sights for this. So hopefully they're going to step up the game. Hopefully we're going to see this. You know, conversely, we're also going to see where the bleed is. If legitimate, but let's say very opinionated news sources on either the left or the right are going to get caught up in this. And in my own personal anecdote for this, it was actually very interesting. I recently wrote an article for Forbes on Russian hacking, and it was nonpartisan. It did not go into, you know, pointing fingers at anybody so much as it was an understanding of their global influence in how they have been affecting governments worldwide, not just the United States. And it was based on a lot of sources. But Forbes is considered a tier one, you know, news source. This isn't, you know, some like random, like, you know, like Joe's, you know, news page kind of thing. It's Forbes. And when I went to go ahead and run an advertisement on that for Facebook, as I occasionally do, I actually got rejected for the first time ever from Facebook saying this is political content. And so we know their AI filters are looking for things like Russia and hacking and all of this. But I found it interesting that they're not even whitelisting major organizations like Forbes and I would presume CNN, you know, and other major news outlets that we have. I have to go through a verification process to verify my identity as a U.S. citizen that I'm actually in the United States before they're going to allow me to run that ad. So we do know that Facebook is taking this to task, and I don't know, and I've not run advertisements on Twitter or anything else, even though I have accounts there, but we'll see. And so that is your election news of the day, and hopefully we're going to see fake news and hyperbole combated in a way that we haven't seen before. And I don't necessarily think we've seen that to this point, as I'm sitting here talking to you in the beginning of September, but, you know, here we are. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And in Facebook news, Facebook cares so much about your privacy that they actually publish an app to help protect you online. Now, this app is so good that Apple just pulled it from the App Store because it was violating your privacy. So that is essentially the state that we are living in. Now, the app in question is Onavo. Now, Onavo is a VPN, and I know you've heard me talk about VPNs on this show before, so I'm not going to dive in necessarily to what a VPN is, virtual private network, but I am going to say that if you are getting a free VPN, then something may be seriously wrong with it. Either it's not fully protecting you or it's being tracked, and this is the case with Facebook. Now, Onavo was originally a VPN that came out of Israel by the Israelis, and Facebook bought this and then put it under their umbrella. And so under the guise of privacy, Facebook basically is giving you a free VPN app called Onavo. Now, Onavo is going to protect you and your privacy when you are connecting to, let's say, Wi-Fi or even on your cellular connection, because it's going to encrypt your data out. But then at the end of the day, when you are actually routing to wherever you want to go, Facebook is the one routing you and they're data mining you. So above and beyond what you're doing on Facebook and how they're tracking that through this, anytime you go to another website or something else, Facebook now understands that you, the user, is going here, going there, and they're getting even more data on you. And so if you are using Onavo, please don't use Onavo. Go spend money on a decent VPN. They're like $30 to $50 a year. You know, there's a whole bunch that are really good. Private Internet Access, or PIA, is one. NordVPN is another. You know, and on and on and on. And you can go ahead and get these. They'll usually do about 5 devices simultaneously. It costs almost nothing, and that will actually protect you, and you're not going to be beholden to a company like Facebook that is just data mining the heck out of you when you are using their free VPN app or their app or Messenger or anything else that they're doing. I mean, that's absolutely insane. And so shame on you, Facebook, for doing that. And I'm glad that Apple actually pulled that, because it was violating Apple's privacy policies for their users. And so it's still on Android, from what I understand. That's Google's platform. But make sure that you are not using this, unless you don't care about Facebook data mining you, in which case, knock yourself out. You get a free VPN. But for the rest of us, please, please don't use that. And in Facebook news, again, Facebook has a secret reputation score on all of its users. And if you didn't know this, they actually do. And pretty much what they are trying to look for with this reputation score is those that are disseminating fake news or those that are working in hyperbole to try to understand their user base better, but also to, let's say, possibly relegate you in terms of your actual ability to spread information to your user base. And so we don't know if they're, you know, cutting you off or anything. But what the interesting part is that this reputation score has a scale, like most scores have scales, and the scale is 0 and 1. And so you're either a 0 or you're a 1, very binary. And I have no idea, and nor could I find when I was doing research on this for my daily video, I could not find when or which was good. Do you want to be a 0 or do you want to be a 1? And so this is one of the many different factors that Facebook has come out and said that they are ranking, scoring all of this. But your reputation score might be good or bad depending on the news sources and depending on the biases of those news sources. We honestly don't know. And so take that into account when you are on Facebook and you're doing everything you know, that you normally do. And as you're sharing news sources, those news sources are probably rated, and whatever their rating is probably affects that 0 or 1 score that you have, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. And I think the world is starting to get frustrated with just the level of data mining that we're seeing from Facebook and Google and all of that. And so hopefully we're going to start seeing some changes here, especially with Europe spinning up massive privacy protection laws, which I think we need here as well for individuals, especially just given, you know, how ingrained this is into us with, you know, the Fourth Amendment and everything else and as our society. So hopefully we're going to see even better privacy and consumer laws, because these companies are just data mining us and giving us apparently reputation scores and sharing them with who knows whatever. It's just, it's absolutely crazy right now. So please take that into mind when you are navigating and using Facebook. And in Google news, Google actually is having an odd time right now with cybersecurity. So they just released an update to Google Chrome. That is their web browser that I'm sure a lot of you guys are using. But interestingly enough, what Google is trying to do with Chrome is force antivirus makers to shift how they are plugging in and how they are defending Chrome. And so what ended up happening is with this new update, a lot of people that are running antivirus across the spectrum from Avast to McAfee, I mean, almost take your pick, a lot of them are actually getting prompted to say that they need to uninstall their virus scanners, which obviously nobody really recommends. But for some reason, this is how Google essentially worded and phrased it. And so a lot of the manufacturers are basically coming out and talking to Google saying, hey, like, you know, publicly that either one, they're going to adhere to the new protocols that Google wants for Chrome extensions, or two, they're going to find a workaround, or three, they're just simply fighting back on Google, which I think is probably a losing cause given how huge Google is and how ubiquitous the Chrome browser is. But if you got prompted when you install Chrome to uninstall your antivirus, one, I hope you didn't do it. And two, I hope you updated your antivirus to current, which may have actually fixed that problem. But I'm sure that millions of people saw this and thought, oh, I have to uninstall this product, and actually did it, which obviously leaves them less defended, which I have a serious, serious problem with. And while I'm not a massive fan of antivirus for all of its flaws and vulnerabilities, we still need a layer of security because we need something to protect us, especially if we're not sitting behind, let's say, a good firewall that can do that for us. So if you have Chrome and if it is asking you to uninstall your antivirus, please do not do that. Go to the maker of your antivirus. They probably have an update for you or a notification for you on what to do regarding that. But the last thing we want to do is stop defending ourselves. And Google, guys, come on. You really need to make sure that you are being concerned with the security for your users and say, hey, you know, you could have put a message out there that said something like, you know, your antivirus isn't compatible. Don't uninstall, but please go to your manufacturer for more instructions. But Chrome is less defended now because of it. Something like that, as opposed to please uninstall this application. And I understand you're probably doing this for stability reasons in the product, but then your development should be as such that you're giving everybody time to fully adhere or not. So that is your Google News of the day when it comes to the Chrome browsers. But again, please do not uninstall your antivirus because Chrome is telling you to do that. That's a serious, serious issue. And in, I don't even know how to classify this news. we are talking about Google and Epic Games and Microsoft and cybersecurity. Now, what is going on? I actually have to preface this a little bit. So if we find a vulnerability in a product, let's say I, as a researcher, find a vulnerability that a hacker, a malicious hacker could exploit, or a researcher hacker like myself could exploit, then what ends up happening is we go to that company and we notify the company to say, hey, we have a problem here. Here's how I got into your product. And then that gives the company time to actually fix the issue, address it, release a patch for it so that it's keeping everybody safe. What I don't do is I don't go to the public immediately or even prematurely to tell the world that I have found a vulnerability. And the reason being is that now malicious hackers, cyber criminals and all of this are going to find this code. They're going to see this. And before the company has had a chance to protect its user base, they can start using this to exploit it. And that's exactly what happened. Now, if you're not familiar with a company called Epic Games, this is what I'm talking about. Epic Games makes a product called Fortnite. They make a game called Fortnite. And if you have kids under 15, I can pretty much guarantee that if they're not playing it, they've definitely heard of it and their friends are playing it. It is utterly massive and continues to blow up. Well, the reason why I'm bringing this up is Google discovered an actual flaw in the installer package for Fortnite that would allow malicious hackers to run what is called man-in-the-disk attack. And I'm not going to get into what that is. Needless to say, it's a very serious vulnerability that would allow hackers to wreak havoc on Android devices, Fortnite, a whole bunch of different stuff. And so Google, instead of going to Fortnite and giving them time to actually fix the issue before Google releases their results and research, which all researchers do, Google released it before Fortnite had a chance to fix this issue. Fortnite is coming out and calling Google very irresponsible for this, which, you know, if true, that is absolutely correct. They shouldn't. Now, I say that to say that this is not the first time that Google has been caught doing this. Google has released vulnerabilities into the Windows operating system, that's Microsoft Windows, before Microsoft has had a chance to actually fix and patch them. Again, exposing hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, in this case for Windows, to vulnerabilities that hackers could potentially exploit. That is a serious, serious issue. And so Google, if you're listening, y'all got to cut it out. You really need to make sure that you're following the proper CVE protocols and that you are allowing companies like Epic Games to patch their applications, and you're allowing Microsoft to patch operating systems and any other company as well. Please don't rush this data to market, because all you're doing is affecting millions of your users as well, because this is affecting Android. It's a serious, serious flaw, and I'm not a fan of Google for doing this. And so hopefully they're going to heed this warning in the future and they're not going to do this again. And Epic Games, I hope you guys have that patch. And so that is your, I'm not sure what to classify this as news, but that's what it is right now. And in free email news, if you're still using Yahoo or AOL, you may want to actually stop. Now, if you didn't realize, both of these companies are owned by a company called OAuth. That's O-A-U-T-H, OAuth. OAuth is now owned by Verizon. And the reason why I bring these up specifically is because so many free email providers, if we're looking at, you know, Google's Gmail and some of the others, have really stepped back on allowing third parties to data mine very deeply for advertising, because there has been a public backlash, an outcry over this. I mean, and if we're looking at this even deeper, we can look at things like Facebook's Cambridge Analytica. But the reason why I'm bringing up OAuth, who owns Yahoo, if you have a Yahoo email, or AOL, if you have an AOL email, is because these are two organizations that have not stepped back from allowing third parties to heavily data mine. And it was just recently brought to light by, I believe it was a Wall Street Journal, that basically had an in-depth look at this and to see that we are still doing this. Now, I have been recommending getting off of Yahoo for years because they had a massive data breach by Russian hackers. In fact, one of those hackers was recently extradited from Ontario, Canada to San Francisco to stand trial for that. And he admitted that basically he was paid by Russian cutouts to hack 80 mailboxes, personal mailboxes of senior government officials. And how do you hide hacking 80 mailboxes? You hack them all. And so when all was said and done, as Yahoo lied through the years about those breaches, it eventually came out that 3 billion plus mailboxes were exposed because the hackers got such intimate access to the back end of Yahoo. So I simply don't trust them as a company or as an organization because of this. And now add to the fact that they're still allowing deep data mining by third parties of your information. That's a serious, serious problem. And AOL, I mean, AOL has been almost defunct for years now, you know, even though they have millions of mailboxes still left. And I know that when we are looking at AOL mailboxes, 9 times out of 10, it's usually more elderly people that have had this mailbox, you know, since the late 80s, early 90s, and they're not changing or switching. But, you know, that's fine. Just understand that if you are going to be using one of these, we don't know in terms of just how good they're locked down on the back end because of Yahoo's massive penetration. And we also know now for a fact that you are being deeply, deeply data mined if you're using Yahoo or AOL. So please take that for what it's worth. And if you are looking for a good free email service that is not going to data mine you, that is built from the ground up on security and is actually sitting in a country with some of the best data privacy laws on the planet, which is Switzerland, you're looking at Proton Mail. And so you can go sign up for Proton Mail. That is an excellent service to use if you want to make sure that you're not being data mined and you want to make sure that you are being private and you still want a free mailbox. So take that for what it's worth. But AOL and Yahoo fans, please be warned. You're listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show. We'll be back right after this quick message.